I'm just gonna be using.
Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Our first song is Amazing Grace, number 292 in the song sheet.
It's in the room here.
Yeah, it is.
It's not in the room. Oh. There. I think I used this at F2.
292.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And our next song is Revive Us Again, number 20.
Man, why did you turn the speakers on?
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to have a word of prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence and with the forgiveness of sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so we can go forth and proclaim the loud cry as you promised your people will do. Thank you for keeping the hedge of angels about each and every one of us, all those that are on the prayer list, and even those that come against us. We pray that you bless them with forgiving hearts, or repenting hearts, rather, and that you forgive them, because they truly don't know what they're doing. And we thank you, Father God, for blessing everyone that's in need, whether it's physical, spiritual, or even financial need, while we're still on this planet. We still need the finances. We pray, Father, that all the blessings are there as they should be. And thank you again for the truth that never changes. And give us an opportunity to understand it and to share it with as many as possible. We thank you for all these things, and to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. I want to welcome guest number 1 and 2. And, that's about it. Oh, I welcome everybody, of course, but there's 2 new ones there. So let me get this stereo mix here. All right. Here we go. Let me know if you can hear the sound after I hit this.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. This Sabbath, we're going to share another testimony from the Philippines. The first one, if you remember, that was Brother and Pastor June. This one is going to be Brother and Pastor Reuben, who is a well-minded brother, strict to integrity, strict to the principles of God and what he is calling us to be in these last days. He is a hard worker in the church. He helps where it always needs to be. He travels from time to time. He does have a large family. His wife is Sister Lisa, and he has 7 children in all, 2 of which work in the ministry and are currently being trained out there in the field. So as we begin, I will now read Brother Reuben's testimony so you can better understand who he is as a brother and a minister in the present truth. And he says, "Hello, brethren. I want to share my testimony, and I hope that everyone will be blessed. I was born Catholic, and when I was 12 years old, I was converted to the SDA Church. Years later, I became the church youth leader for a long time. When I got married, I was selected as the church elder until we found out that the SDA Church had embraced Catholic teachings and practices. So we decided to stop going to church on Sabbath and just stay at home and be with like-minded brethren. We had did this for a couple of months with about 5 families or so, and about 5 families that had not decided whether they were going to leave the SDA Church or not. During that time, we did not know much about anything except what the SDA Church was involved with in adopting Catholic practices. We prayed that the Lord will continue to reveal to us more truth of what was really going on. We know that something was really wrong at that time, and the best thing to do is to just simply separate from church fellowship with the SDA Church. More SDA members have heard about our separation at this time from the church, and some of them joined the home meetings until we grew in number, and it was actually time to build a meeting place. Still, during that time, we did not know much about anything apart from what we had learned in the SDA Church and a couple of things about the apostasy that was going on. Our knowledge was very limited during this time. Anybody that would visit our church was welcome to talk. Nobody was guarding the pulpit at this time. We didn't have a minister or anything like that for such a long time. So any group was welcome. Anybody was welcome to come into the church into the pulpit and share what they wanted to share as long as they were Sabbath keepers. Our purpose was to open our ears because we were searching for the truth at this time. Time came when the present truth came to us. At that time, I did not believe in that message, the message of reformation and health reform. I just could not accept it. For me, why is there a new message like this, I asked myself. I did not realize that as we continue to search for truth, more light will continue to come to us. But some of my brethren in the church accepted the message as truth, while I did not. I then decided to separate from that church, which was the farm church. And I went to another church named SDA Local Conference. I chose to go to the SDA Local Conference because they used to visit us at the farm church from time to time, and they were allowed to speak, so I thought they were okay. This was during those times when nobody guarded the pulpit. To give you an idea of this church, they are basically just as the same as the SDA General Conference. They separated from the General Conference leadership, but still kept its practices and teachings. They also preach Sabbath, but does not teach how to keep it holy. They buy and sell on Sabbath, just like the SDAs do. They cook their food even on Sabbath. They have a centralized system of organization, which is also heretical in nature, like the SDA General Conference. They also do not preach about the SDA church being fallen to Sister Babylon. At that time, my wife and the rest of my kids continued to stay in the farm church who had the present truth, while I stayed in the SDA Local Conference church. So there was a split in my family. None from my family went with me to the SDA church. I was very hopeful that my whole family would go with me to the SDA Local Conference church, but reality was opposite to my hopes. They continued their zeal in the present truth that they accepted, but my hopes were in vain. We were never united. I was in despair and finally gave up going to the SDA Local Conference church. My family kept pulling me and telling me to go with them to the farm church, but I did not care. I even argued with them and tried to contradict the present truth message regarding health reform. But even if I was like that, I stayed at home during Sabbath. Our morning and evening family worship continued. I prayed that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead and guide and show the way of righteousness, and that we will all be united as a family into the same spirit and love in truth. Now, I'm going to stop right here for a moment, brothers and sisters, because what I'm about to read to you happened shortly after a prayer that we did in the church. When I was out there in the Philippines, okay, one Sabbath late afternoon, when we're about to close to go home and maybe stay with the families for about 30 minutes before the sun finally does set, we usually would get on our knees as a church and come together and pray. And I led the prayer, and I was convicted at the end of that prayer to state these similar words, in the fact that I said, Father, Lord, Holy Spirit, if there's anybody that are your children that have been a part of this church before who had left, I pray that you would bring them back swiftly to the present truth. They would accept it and everything would be okay. So if there's anybody out there, please bring them back to the church, if they are truly your children. And we closed. So now Reuben continues here and says, one time I had a dream. All the dreams that I had, that was the only dream that made me wonder and put a fear in me like never before. In my dream, I saw myself riding on a big white bird. The bird finally landed, and it was in a certain place inside a building. I heard a voice saying, feed this man from Western Mindanao. Western Mindanao is a region in the Philippines where I currently live. I saw nobody except for the two persons who served the food. The food they served me was without meat. In short, it is for vegetarians. I woke up and I was deeply thinking the meaning of the dream. I wanted to look for that building where the bird took me. I wanted to see if it's real. I wanted to go back to that church, but I still can't accept the present truth. So I was thinking to go back to the SDA local conference church. Sabbath came, and here again my wife and kids were inviting me to go with them to the Present Truth Farm Church, where Brother Craig was preaching. I said to myself, I wanted to give it a try to see what's going to happen. So I went with them. I have never been to the farm church for a long time. I had left the farm church about almost 3 years ago. Everything seemed new to me. The church building looks new. The SDA name that was on top of the church was removed and gone. When we separated from the SDA church, we still carried the name SDA with us. We thought it was the best thing to do. When I arrived at that church, I saw that the name was erased from the building. I was wondering why they erased it. So I felt like a stranger that time and was even hesitant to get inside the church. But still, I made myself comfortable and I went inside and listened to the study. What was amazing was that the form of the church entrance was the same as the shape of the building where the bird took me in my dream. The study ended. Now it's lunchtime. Brethren in the farm church eat together at lunchtime. Everyone will have something to eat. The food was served, and the food that they gave me was the same food that I saw in my dream that the two men in white garments gave me. The more I wonder about what happened at lunchtime, and that it was the Holy Spirit who brought me back into the church, the true church for these last days. There I saw the brethren who accepted the present truth while I left them. They still continue till this day, and now I'm with them again. Praise the Lord. I continued to go to church at that time and studied the present truth and studied and understood it and accepted it with my whole heart and decided to go get rebaptized to renew my commitment to the Lord. I understood that the dream was a message for me, that this is the true church of God and the true living gospel for God's people in these last days. Whenever, brethren, conduct Bible studies to the families in the neighborhoods, I started to go with them. I enjoyed doing it, and my zeal started to grow. I learned more things, and my joy was full. Since the work needed to expand, Craig and Addie left the farm church and moved to another major island in the Philippines. The farm church then needed to reorganize, and the church agreed and chose to ordain me as their minister. At first, I was hesitant. I said to myself, I am not an educated person. I am only a farmer. To make the story short, I accepted the responsibility to the calling of God and to work for Him in His vineyard. The work is expanding today and more workers are needed. We need all the help we can get to push forward this commission that Jesus Christ has left for us and for His 12 disciples that have started it. There are trials that I have come into. I did not finish school. I am not an eloquent speaker. I do not speak English. I grew up in the farm. Planting rice was my work before I stepped into the ministry. My family is poor, yet we love one another very much. One of my neighbors and friends who also attended the SDA local conference heard that I got ordained. He was saying, "What? Reuben got ordained? How come?" Brethren, This is one of the many things that I received after my ordination from many. I am not knowledgeable with a lot of things. I only preach what I know. I take care of the church to the best of my ability that God bestowed upon me. And what truth that I have inside of me, I share it to those that are lost. I learn to ignore the ridicules of the unbelievers. I must look forward, and I will continue to press forward. I must not allow these people to discourage me. I will not allow them to discourage me. As I continue to press forward, I gained more strength from the Creator. I am so deeply inspired by His unfailing love for myself and all of us. I learned that when God calls us, we should not ignore it, but we should act upon it. No matter who you are, God has a purpose that He wants to accomplish in you, like the disciples of Christ when they were called to the work. Matthew 4:19. And He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. God calls men of humble occupations in life. He wants men who are teachable. He did not choose the Pharisees because they were too educated and would not listen to the teachings of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of this world is foolishness, brothers and sisters, with God. And it is not what God wants for His people. He wants men that are humble and teachable. When the disciples were called to follow Christ, they never questioned or doubted. They followed Christ immediately, Matthew 4:20. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. Christ's life on earth inspired me so much that despite of all the discouragement that I received and continue to receive, I continue to press forward to the best of my ability, as you all should in your callings. Christ was not treated nicely by His oppressors. This is clearly stated in Luke 18:32. For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted upon. This was how Christ was treated, and I did not expect to be treated nicely by my opposers of the truth. My Master suffered, I will suffer with Him. And remember, brethren, no servant is greater than the Master. Matthew 10:24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. And He has promised us, Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. If we experience persecution and false reports and false accusations, just remember, brethren, we are called blessed. We don't need to retaliate and talk back harshly to others because they mistreat us. And there is a wonderful verse for each and every one of us who are persecuted and ridiculed for our faith, that is truth. Matthew 5:12 states, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And being persecuted, brothers and sisters, we become partakers of Christ's suffering. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Brethren, we have a work to do in these last days, and we cannot allow these devices and instrumentalities of Satan to disturb us and pull us away from the great calling that we are to fulfill for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These things are designed to cause us to grow weary and lazy and to tire us out, and in result, not being able to do our duties for the Lord in His vineyard as He calls us to do. We have to be strong in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, and constantly in prayer we must be. We will be able to conquer the enemy through the power of Christ. I pray that the Lord will continue to strengthen us as we continue to help push forward the work in any way that we can and in any vineyard. We need to help one another to get this truth out there to as many people as we can, because every soul, no matter who they are or where they are at, every soul is precious to the Lord. We have few trainees here who need prayers too, as they are out in the field. They are young people, very young people, who dedicated their lives to do this work. Among the trainees are my son Rule and my daughter Jonah. They both decided to leave school and not to continue in college in order to help in pressing this precious truth and this work. Brethren, continue to work for the Lord to the best of your ability. Be strong in the Lord, because time is running short and Christ is soon to come to claim His own. Revelation 2:20. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray that Brother Reuben, Pastor Reuben, and his testimony has been a blessing for each and every one of you this Sabbath day. And I pray that each and every one of us will answer the call, wherever it may be, whenever it may be, that when God calls us to do a work for Him, that we will answer that call, and that we will hit the streets, we will spread the present truth, tracts, DVDs, cards, by voice, by emails, or street signs, or whatever that we could possibly do, that we will get this message out there. We will end this great controversy, and this will be the last and final generation that walks upon this earth, because it's going to be finished. I pray and hope that we will get out there and do this work, because the SDA church wouldn't work. They lost the light, and it was given to the remnant church for these last days, and we have a big work to do. We cannot just sit around and have a do-nothing spirit. We must get up and do something. We must overcome our sins. We must overcome our characters, and we must reflect the character of Christ. We have to do this, brothers and sisters. Time is running out. So, again, I pray and hope that this sermon has been a blessing for each and every one of you, this testimony of Brother Reuben's. And so God bless each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. We'll be right back. We got, I guess we got one more song to share, so we'll be right back.
The name of our song is Bring Them In, number 337.
Bottom
part. Maybe
the bottom part. Okay.
Hark,
'tis
the shepherd's
voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. who go and help the shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find, who bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountain, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us the way you have, the changing of the showbread on Sabbath day once again. Thank you for blessing everyone here with a desire to do the work and to share what we have learned today and study and during Pastor Reuben's testimony. We thank you for blessing everybody that comes into the work, especially the new ones, because it's, well, it's new to them, and sometimes it can be a little bit trying. And we thank you for blessing them with the courage to stand firm. Thank you for giving us more work to do, too. And for all the churches that are wanting to join with us now from all around the world, and for the new churches starting out in the Philippines now, we thank you so much, Father, for blessing us the way you have. And this truth really is going forth like a loud cry. And for all the 750-some workers that are on the street that are self-funded, we thank you so much for them that they're doing this work out of their, just out of desire to please you. You know, the passing of the tracts and the DVDs and the booklets and the cards. We thank you for blessing their efforts and keeping them safe. And those that we do fund, Father, thank you for blessing us the means by which we can fund them and to keep them with what they need to continue to work. And we pray that your blessing is upon the convocation that's going to be in May for the people in the Philippines, too. And again, to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.